May the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with all of you. If you're comfortable and able, I ask that you will begin this sermon with your eyes closed. And as you close your eyes, imagine yourself in a darkened space. It could be a closet with the door closed. It could be the deep recesses of a cave. Maybe you're standing under a moonless sky. You feel the darkness all around you. And you reach into your pocket and discover there a match and find in your hand a candle. Then you take the match out of your pocket, you strike it, you light that solitary wick, and you watch as the blazing flame begins to escape the darkness, as the darkness begins to retreat, as you feel the warmth of the flame, as you recognize just a few things around you, perhaps not all the information you need, not revealing everything in your environment, but just enough. Enough if you had to make your way forward. Enough to light the way. And as you open your eyes, let me tell you a Christmas story. It involves a friend of mine, a pastoral colleague, who is about my age, but in the 1980s, he was just starting out in his first church. And new on the premises, the worship committee planned the worship leaders and who would light the Advent wreath during the season of Advent. And he noticed one name that caused him pause. It was Joe, a single elderly man who had spent his entire life as a minister, as a closeted gay minister. But that really wasn't what disturbed the minister that was my friend planning the service. No, what he was thinking about was this guy, Joe, and his recent diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. That Joe had already shown signs of jaundice in his face and in the whites of his eyes. And he thought, why did they plan Joe on the Sunday of joy? How's it going to look for Joe to have to come before the church facing this terminal illness and having to light the candle of joy? You see, when you're young in ministry and inexperienced, you're afraid of offending everybody. When you get to be my age, you really don't care as much. You know it's a no-win situation. You're probably going to offend somebody, so you just might as well get used to it. But my minister friend, early in his 20s, serving his first church, thought, this is going to be terrible. I'm asking Joy to light the candle of joy when he's facing this incredibly difficult time in his life. And so with as much pastoral sympathy as he could muster, he called Joe. Said, Joe, I know this has been a tough year for you. I know that this is a tough time in your life. And I just want you to know, if you want to bow out of lighting the candle of joy for the third Sunday of Advent, I certainly would understand as your pastor. Joe said, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I consider it a sincere honor to be able to light that candle with my church family on the Sunday of joy. And so that day came around and Joe came marching in, holding God's flame in the sanctuary. And as he reached over to light the candle on the Advent wreath, the pink candle standing for joy, my pastor friend looked over at Joe's yellowed face and saw big streams of tears running down. And he says that that was the first time that he truly saw the praise of God in human form. A praise of God that's not through gloating, but is built within this rock-solid faith of strength during times of adversity. My friend told me that story because not only was that Joe's last Christmas somewhere in the 1980s, but every Christmas since, when my friend is decorating his personal Christmas tree, he takes out that ornament that Joe gave him that Christmas and he places it on his tree as a reminder of spiritual strength through the frail human form. Jesus was born to a poor family from a servitude class within an oppressed people. His people, the Hebrews, were living under the occupation of a foreign government. The mighty Roman Empire had conquered the land. They had overwhelmed the religious authorities. They had controlled the ruling elites with their great wealth and power and intimidation. And somehow through the example of his life itself, this spiritual strength in human form, Jesus would have others call him teacher and Lord and Messiah and Christ and King. But he would be unlike any king they had ever seen. Indeed, would be like any king the world has ever seen. He would be a king that would elevate service over adoration. Who would underscore the wealth and dignity and worth of every single human person rather than the wealth monetarily of a few. He would heal the sick rather than he would seek to protect the privileged and the privileged. He would be born in simplicity and struggle. And through his love-giving life, he would be an example of how to live our lives, how to be generous and compassionate and forgiving and kind. He would give his life so that we might know how to live, that we may follow someone who truly is worth following, that we would have an example for us in our struggles, in our sufferings, in our difficulties, so that the miracle of Christmas is that the great and wonderful and incredible God would be pleased to dwell in human flesh. And we are blessed. And we are saved. So if you're comfortable, one more time, close your eyes. Light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after suffering, crown after cross, sweet after bitter, song after sigh, home after wandering, sun after snowfall, peace after pain, joy after sorrow, hope after new birth, life after the tomb, and love always, eternally, love What is the name of your darkness? Now strike a match. Light a candle. Hallelujah. Christ is born again. Amen.